Good morning. Our reading today is from Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 22. Peter and John before the council. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came to them, much annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming that in Jesus there is the resurrection of the dead. So they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and they numbered about 5,000. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. When they saw the man who had been cured standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So they ordered them to leave the council while they discussed the matter with one another. They said, "What will we do with them? For it is obvious to all who live in Jerusalem that a notable sign has been done through them. We cannot deny it. But to keep it from spreading further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard." After threatening them again, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all of them had praised God for what had happened. For the man on whom the sign of healing had been performed was more than 40 years old.
Thank you, Anne, for reading our scripture for us this morning. It is such a gift to be able to continue in our sermon series and in this time of partnering with others to hear their thoughts on our text each week. We are studying Acts in a series called The Original Church, and the whole goal for us is to think about how the church was established in those first months and years after the resurrection, and what that might inform us to do as we continue to seek preaching the good news in these different times that we're living into. This morning, Glenn Ferguson is joining us. Glenn is our clerk of session and an elder in our church. He is also a Sunday school teacher and the stated clerk for the Seattle Presbytery. Glenn, we're so glad that you're here, and we do acknowledge you, your third generation Presbyterian status and authority to preach the good news this morning. So thank you for being
with us. Thank you. I don't know about the authority.
So as Anne read for us, just to have some context, this is, as we get into Acts chapter 4, what we're starting to see is that the preaching the good news, talking about Christ's resurrection and performing these miracles is starting to get people into trouble. So Peter and John find themselves put in jail by the religious authorities because of their teaching and specifically talking about the resurrection. And they're brought before these authorities to explain themselves. And even when they do, the religious leaders sort of cast things aside and continue to push forward with thinking that they're not doing the right thing. And even though the people push back, you know, they're kind of forced to not do anything further, but the tension is building. And so Glenn, I'd love to know what sticks out for you in this passage, what feels important for us to know and remember.
The thing that really impresses me about this is that we're watching a near real-time creation of our Christian church. And these are guys who are very poorly equipped for the job. Even the people who arrest them admit they're not educated. They don't seem to know much of anything, but they're out there doing miracles. They've got 5,000 people who are now believing what they're saying about Jesus. And they actually hung out with Jesus. And I think that's the big credential here, is that they had direct contact. They're not theologians. They are very simple people. And as they say, near the end of the passage, you know, as for us, we have to tell you what we saw and heard. And so it's not a deliberate sort of designed thing they're doing. It's all unfolding because they feel compelled to do it.
Yeah, I love that, Glenn. It's such a great reminder. They didn't have a manual. They weren't given, Jesus said, go, make disciples, you know, baptize people, preach the good news, and do miracles in my name. And that's what they were doing. They were set off to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit without, you know, a step-by-step plan of what they were supposed to do, but compelled by the Spirit, almost as if, like you said, they didn't have a choice. They were just doing it all the time.
And also they, to their credit, they keep their focus where it belongs, which is on Jesus. When they're asked, you know, by what power or authority are you doing this? And they're like, well, Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about Jesus. So it wasn't about them. They were not trying to get people to follow them for their sake, but to listen to the message about Jesus and follow Jesus.
Yeah, and they push back a little bit, right? Like they say in that passage, you know, it's Jesus, the one you crucified, and God raised him from the dead. Like they keep going back to this to clarify, we're still in the same place we were before. This is what's happened, and God raised Jesus from the dead, which is the problem for these religious leaders. It's resurrection that they do not believe in still, even though it happened.
And it's not just that they're religious leaders. They're bucking the entire establishment.
Yep.
And so it's not just that they refuse to be quiet when they're told to, but they really get in their face. They tell them, the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. It's like, we're right and you're wrong. We don't know anything, but we're still right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's quite the bold assertion.
Yes, and it pushes back against their authority. I think power in this passage is a really important element. And so what do you think about the power struggle here and what we might have to learn from it?
Well, as someone who's an elder and a clerk and stated clerk for the presbytery, I feel like I have to be very wary of not being like the Sanhedrin, because in some ways all these elders and leaders and people are merely acting as we might react if we saw something that seemed a little harebrained, and they're not open to it. But they were impressed by it, and they're impressed by the authenticity. And so the thing I take away is the need to be open-minded, be open to the Holy Spirit, because that everything these guys were doing, Peter and John, was flowing from the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't about them. It was about Jesus, and it was authentic and inartful. They weren't doing anything by design. And so it's impressive in that way. And so I wonder the extent to which I would be able to keep my mind that open, that I wouldn't appear to be like these guys who arrested them. Although, to their credit, they eventually concluded, if only for political reasons, well, we can't do anything with these guys. We could ask, please stop. But, you know, 5,000 people, they healed the guy. We can't do anything to him.
Right.
So at least they realized that. But God's power is so much bigger than their authority anyway.
Yeah, and that maybe that's the reminder for us, is to always act in our power, to always act and remember we're actually under God's power. We're under Christ's power and authority. It's not our own. And so then in that way, there's nothing to protect and preserve. We can be more open, and we can look for places where miracles are happening. Because for me, that's one of the places they missed it completely. They're so obsessed with what they're teaching about, they miss this miracle happen. This person has been healed. And they just basically cast it to the side because it complicates their system and their power and authority. And so they can't even take it in. They can't even think about it, which is
there's no response they possibly can have to it.
No, but the people,
they realize
5,000 people aren't upset, right? The 5,000 people are like, hey, this is amazing.
And that really works for Peter and John, because the political situation with the 5,000 supporting them makes it impossible for the authorities to act.
Yeah. It's as you've been talking, it's been reminding me of we've been doing as a church, some of the community organizing work and working together with all of the nonprofits and churches and the school district in Bellevue to respond and try to take care of people's needs. The number one thing that we're always reminded of is to not be territorial. And to not worry about your own preservation of your own organization, but just to constantly be reaching out so that we can work together. And it's just this reminder to me that there is a sense for all of us, and when we're in a system, to self-preserve and hold on to our own power. And this just pushes back in opposition to that for all of us.
Yeah, to want credit when we should be a little more humble and give credit where it's really due, coming from above.
Yeah, absolutely. So Glenn, one of the things as I have read this passage and thought about it is the reality that they were together and 5,000 or more, they were allowed to gather in groups. And right now during this time, we are spread out. We are in our own homes. And as I read scripture, I'm always reminded that that is not new for God. That God calls us together into relationship, but God's power is not limited by those gatherings. So what challenges, what inspiration, what reminders might we take from this passage this morning that we can apply today as we continue to live into this call that, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to share Christ's love and hope?
Well, when we first went to having to do things virtually and doing children's sermons that way, the first thing that came to my mind, literally in the middle of the night, I woke up and I thought of the Apostle Paul, who had really made his career going around the Mediterranean and preaching to people, helping form churches, support churches all around. And he eventually gets arrested and put under house arrest in Rome, and he can't travel anymore. So his entire model for helping create our religion is wiped out in an instant. But he wasn't in any way hindered by that. And he starts writing letters to everybody and sending letters all around to help support them, correct them, teach them. And the thing that really strikes me about that is that that wasn't the plan. But it worked out better than the plan, because if it wasn't for him having to write the letters, we wouldn't have the letters. He would merely have been speaking to them, and we wouldn't have a record of what he was saying. Mm. And so now we have a huge part of the New Testament is entirely the result of Paul being arrested. And so it makes me wonder what inspirations we should take from the current situation, even with the very difficult situation people are in health-wise, work-wise, and just societal problems in general. There's always something to be taken from these situations, and it's good to look for it.
Yeah, I love that. It draws me back to what you said at the very beginning as well, that, you know, they were living into the moment and compelled to do it. And so maybe, you know, part of the lesson for us is just to do that thing we feel compelled to do, write that letter or make that phone call or, you know, send those flowers, whatever it is that we feel compelled to do by the power of the Spirit, to just do that one thing each day, day by day, because the impact of our whole church doing that could be huge for our community and for our families and relationships.
And like Peter and John, do it authentically without thinking too hard about it.
Yeah.
And that really worked for them.
It really worked for them. And it also clarified whose authority they were acting under, right? That nudge was, and then they responded, was how they lived into the Spirit, which lives in all of us.
Very inspiring.
I love it. Glenn, thank you so much. I'm going to ask you to pray for us, but first I'm going to pray for a minute for you and your work in the church. I'm so grateful for the way that you're serving our churches and this great reminder that we are all in this together, and you're doing a wonderful, wonderful service to our church by keeping all these wonderful congregations moving and organized.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll start us in prayer, and then if you could wrap up, let's pray. Loving and faithful God, we're so grateful for Glenn and for his wife, Junko, and we pray that you would continue to keep them safe and healthy and strong. We thank you for all of the ways that Glenn is living into the work that you have called him to do, and for the ways that he notices your miracles and your nudges and follows them.
Lord, we thank you for watching over us, for presenting us with challenges that force us to rise to the occasion, and that force us to rise to living into our love for you. Please watch over those who are sick and their families, those who are suffering financially and their families, and in all things, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Glenn.
Thank you.